Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, we're rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I'm not sure if his garage is clean or not by the conversation I overheard before we started, but with me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can always look for them on those days, but stop by there on a regular basis just to see what the heck pops up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, I'd greatly appreciate that. I think Dan would appreciate it, too. So, but don't forget, hey, you can always go to the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, and it's a good thing Dan is here today, everybody, because he's been spending all weekend getting ready for the MLB draft, which starts in about 30 minutes. So he's got everything planned out for us. We'll be able to know who these guys are and what they mean to the teams that pick them, right?
Of course, like always.
Oh, okay,
let me just get my connected to my iPad.
I have absolutely no clue of who any of these guys are, but it's all they've been talking about all day, so. I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, of course, Whitaker is suspended for 60 days.
You can tell me what?
Forrest Whitaker? I believe this is what he's suspended.
He's still suspended, yeah. He's due back, right?
Yeah, you wonder if he'll even get an opportunity to come up this year with the time off. Or if they
I don't know. You know, I mean, do they need them? Yeah, who knows? But anyways, I did hear something kind of humorous yesterday. As you know, the Mariners actually been playing pretty well. So I was watching their game yesterday. At the end of it, I caught the end of it, and you know, the King went out and had a really good outing. We were talking yesterday about how he wasn't the best FanDuel play because he just hadn't been going deep into games. So, of course, yesterday he goes out and he goes 8 innings and only gives up 1 run. So, of course, you know, they bring in, you know, Edwin Diaz to close out the 9th inning, and he strikes out the last guy. And I swear to God, and I actually went back and listened to this multiple times, after he struck the guy out to end the game, the Mariners announcer said, "Straight gas, homie." So, yeah, I was like, you're kidding me, right? He didn't just really say that. So, yeah, apparently that is something they do. I have not heard that one before. I wasn't quite sure if it was humorous or not. I did get a little chuckle out of it, but I was just like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. He really just said that.
Can you say that again? Because, of course, at the pristine moment, I really have to hear what you say. My phone cut out.
Yeah, when he struck out the guy, he used the line, "Gas me." So, yeah, I was like, okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
And I had never heard him speak before.
It could have been Michael Kay announcing. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, you know, not as bad as, you know, that could have been. So, you know, I'm okay with it. I was just kind of like, wait, what did he say? So it was kind of humorous, but I was like, you know, just here we go. Just kind of let it go and move on. But I got quite the chuckle out of that.
Yeah, well, at least the King got a win for me, but I haven't looked at my fantasy week. I don't think I won.
So, yeah, you know, I was losing in one of the leagues. I was actually getting roughed up pretty good, and I thought I was having a pretty good week. But, you know, I guess I was just kind of playing somebody who had a little better week. You know, I know Mr. Fantasy and I had that issue in the money league. You know, in the money league, you play three games at a time. And we had a really good week, and we won two out of three games, and the guy we lost to was the highest scorer of the week. So,
of course.
You know, it was just kind of like, well, not much you can do about that. So, you know, here you go. And, you know, just kind of move on. So, well, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I didn't you know, I knew I set my lineup and everything for today yesterday, and I didn't go back and check yet to see how the heck I ended up doing, because like I said, I was really disappointed. I'm actually starting to get guys back off the DL now though, so you know, maybe I've hung around long enough to where I can actually get something going. But
you know, you run up the DL, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do with Steven Souza Jr. I mean, do I just keep putting him back and on and off the DL, or do I just drop him? You know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm just kind of torn.
Well, you know, we did just get Mark Melanson back. He came off the DL. I was shocked. I didn't know anything about that, but he came back. I see we have similar weeks in the one league. I was 11-13-6, and you were 11-16-3. So we both got kind of roughed up in that league. I think that's the is that the auction league? No, I think that's the snake. So how did we do in the auction league here? I was I was 10-18-2. So I did not do very well there. You were 16-12-2, so you had a good week.
Yeah, I'm moving up to sixth place, so which is one of them in 17. So I'm having one of my worst seasons, I think, ever.
So like I said, you know, I got kind of lucky. You know, I got, not only did I get Melanson back, I know you have him on one of your teams too, but I also got Hunter Pence back. So hopefully, you know, as things kind of come around here, these guys will, you know, get healthy and produce for me and stuff. So I'm, you know, hoping that's a positive.
I don't know what happened, but they let me bring Melanson in today, which is odd.
Yeah, I made the change. Maybe because there's no game, because are they playing tonight?
Yeah, they're playing at 9:15.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a surprise. So.
Oh, I guess it's only San Francisco and Arizona. Well, in the one league. Oh, no. The Royals are playing tonight at 9.
Yeah, you know, there's not a ton. Like, we already had one game. The Yankees and the Tigers are actually playing a split doubleheader. And I know, you know, Luis Severino had a fantastic outing. So if you've got him, I know he had a 10 strikeouts over 8 innings, and then the Yankees brought in a middle reliefer who couldn't hold it, and then they had to go get Chapman to knock out a save. So it just one of those things. But yeah, game 2 is scheduled to start at 6:10, and then everything else is on the West Coast. It's Arizona at San Francisco, Kansas City is at the Angels, and the Braves make their first trip out west to go against the Padres. So, you know, the Diamondbacks and the Giants are actually on the Mickey Mouse Network at 9:00, and then the Braves Padres game is on their app at 9:10. So, But yeah, I think I'm trying to remember. I thought I had Severino in a league. So I know he was.
It's a good way to start
the week off for him here. He ended up going 8 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. Only one was earned, but he still got 10. So, and then Chapman did get the save. He went just a third of an inning and struck a guy out. So he should be available for the night game. Let's see who hit here. The Yankees only had 7 hits, and nobody had more than one. It was Greg Bird who actually homered. His at bat was a homer. Stanton had a hit. Beattie had a hit. Andujar had a hit. Clint Frazier, I didn't even realize he was called back up. He had a hit. Austin Romine had the big hit. It was a 3-run homer. And then, surprise, surprise, Gleyber Torres hit his 10th home run. So that's how they accounted for their runs there. The Tigers had six hits. Castellanos had 2. Let's see. Cabrera had 1. Goodrum had 1. Hicks had 1. And Iglesias had the other. Cabrera, Goodrum, and Iglesias all had doubles. So that's kind of your basis on guys if you had them. I'm sure being a short day, if you're in a daily league, you had these guys in your lineup, so you probably picked up some stats from them. But do you off the top of your head know what move the Yankees made to add Frazier? Or was he just the doubleheader call-up?
Oh, crap. Don't even tell me that.
Yeah, here I found it. He's the 26th man today, so he's just up for these two games and then he's done. So that will be it.
Yeah, because I just tried picking him up in both leagues.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, well, sadly, he'll probably be NA tomorrow if you get him. But I was interested here. If you saw this, your guy Jake Arrieta, little ticked off. You know, he was rolling along yesterday. He was having a fantastic start, and he was my FanDuel guy. I actually started him in FanDuel, and I think for about 5 innings, I looked really good. And then all hell kind of just broke loose, and he kind of pointed fingers at the Phillies shifting. His quote is actually, "We've had bad defensive shifts. We had checked swing, should have gone to second on that play. Oh, Scott Kingery should have gone to second on that play. They got 3 hits in a row, the home run. Credit McCutchen for putting a good swing on it. But did I not expect a ball like that to get out?" So yeah, he's basically just kind of, yeah, here, we're the worst in the league with shifts, so we need to change that. And records actually show that the Phillies are the worst in the league. On their shifts, they have a negative 10 run differential. But how do you kind of feel about Arrieta calling them out about that to the media instead of going to the manager?
I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, he, I believe, cares a little bit more about himself than putting the team first. So, and I mean, let's be honest, I don't think that this is something we're going to get away from. I think we might see more of this coming up in the future, especially with guys like Arrieta, who essentially, he may not think so, but he's on his last contract. So at least term contract. So he's on his last term contract. He's got paid. He's, you know, he's going to get paid. He's gotten paid, however you want to put it. So I think with, you know, his big head, that he just feels he has the right to say what he wants. So, you know, I don't know if this was brought up to his manager beforehand. Or if this was something talked about in the locker room, but I mean, sometimes you have to point out the obvious, and you know, maybe sometimes giving more than the cliche that you and I had a back and forth going on for a few emails the other day is a little bit better than giving the cliches, right?
You know, for whoever it is, right? I mean, if you're the guy asking questions, you're excited that he actually didn't give you the usual BS, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. But, I mean, in situations like that, we've reached that point where certain situations you can call it out because it's all laid out there for everyone to see. You know, you were able to provide us the stats and everything on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, like, I don't mind him stating the obvious about how they suck at shifting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because like you said, it's clear you can look at it and see it. I think my biggest issue may be calling out another player by name. You know, I mean, Scott Kingery's a rookie. He's not a natural shortstop. He came through their system as a second baseman. He's only playing there because J.P. Crawford is hurt. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. You know, because, I mean, you know, obviously they're out there doing, you know, the best they can. So, you know, that may be my biggest issue with the whole thing. But yeah, I have zero problem with saying, yeah, you know, we think it's shifting.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I didn't realize when you said Kingery, I thought you were talking about Sean Kingery. And I was going to say, oh, I didn't know he was on the Giants.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure it didn't help with the fact that they got swept by the Giants over the weekend. You know, and that was the final game of the sweep there. And like, you know, like I said, he was pitching pretty well until, you know, that I think it was the sixth inning he ran into trouble. Yeah. So, you know, I think he'd only given up one run until then, and then he gave up four in the sixth, and that was the end of his day. So, you know, but I mean, you know, no matter what you said, I mean, you still gave up the home run. You can't point fingers at anybody else for that one.
All right.
So, you know, that's just how. Yeah, that's just kind of how it goes. But, you know, even so, I mean, you know, not a terrible outing. You know, obviously not what you want, but, you know, he still's pitched pretty well. You know, and now they get to come to Chicago. You know, they get the off day, and they're coming here to take on the Cubs. So it'll be an interesting, you know, an interesting look for them or test for them because they're. You know, they've been up and coming. So, you know, we'll see. You know, they've slipped a little bit. Three and a half or four behind the Braves now. So, but, you know, they're on par. They're a couple, you know, they're getting records. Their record's pretty similar to the Cubs. So it'll be an interesting, interesting series set up and, you know, how things go. But, yeah, I just, you know, again, like I said, my big thing is I don't like the falling out of the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually was going to be my next point. Like I said, I didn't realize that the Phillies had a Kingery on the infield, so I just assumed it was another Kingery running the bases for the Giants. You know, that's how you don't win over friends in the locker room, right?
Yeah, you know, definitely not going to be a positive there. So, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of works out. But yeah, sadly, it really kind of deadened what I had. You know, like I had a solid FanDuel outing going. I don't think I was going to win anything, but I at least had a relatively solid. That was pretty much the end of it there. You know, him not, you know, losing those points because I think every earned run is negative 3 points. So it was kind of hurt there. Yeah, he ended up just giving me 15 points. So not a positive.
No, and, you know, from over the last few years, for where Philadelphia has been in the standing, if the season, Big Jack, were to end today, they would find themselves a game and a half out of the wild card race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty interesting when you look at it that way, but what was our hashtag for June? Oh, it's June? What was it?
I'm trying to remember. What is it? It's just May, and I think it's only June is what it is, right?
Oh, yeah, it's only June.
Yeah, so, yeah, because we go from, yeah, it's just May to it's only June. So, you know. But and then yesterday, I don't know, you know, what you had going on, but I luckily got to catch some of this. Did you see Michael Wacha's no-hit bid against the Pirates?
Ooh. No, I did not.
Yeah, now humorously, again, if you listened yesterday, Mr. Fantasy was kind of rooting for Nick Kingham, who made the start for the Pirates, to go out and no-hit the Cardinals again, because if you remember, in Kingham's first career start, he went like 7 no-hit innings against the Cardinals in, you know, in his major league debut before giving up a hit. So Mr. Fantasy was kind of jokingly along saying, you know, stay away from your Cardinals. You want to, you know, Kingham's going to no-hit him again. And he was kind of right, just on the wrong pitcher. Because Wacha went out there rolling. But what I found it interesting, Dan, and the thing that always baffles me, he's rolling along, and everybody keeps bringing up the fact that he never really throws more than 100 pitches in his start. And they're like, well, will the Cardinals bring him out for the 8th inning because he's going to go over the 100 pitch mark? Well, they did, and he ended up giving up a hit, and they took him out right away. Again, Dana, I'm just kind of baffled by this. I mean, do we only train pitchers to throw 100 pitches and then they have to go out? Or, you know, I mean, here's a guy rolling along with a no-hitter. I get it. You know, if he was coming off injury or if it was the first start of the season, you know, something like that, you would want to get him out of there. But here, you know, he's made 8-10 starts by now. He should be in mid-season form, so to speak. He can go to, you know, 115, 120 if he has to, right? I mean, what's the issue here? Don't you want to give the guy the opportunity at history?
Well, not only that, I mean, to win the game. Isn't that what it's about?
Yeah. You play to win the game, football, but hey, you know, it works.
I don't know. I don't understand the whole theory that, you know, a guy hits 100 pitches, you got to take him out. I mean, if I were a coach, yeah, I'd be the jerk to take him out on 101. You know, if that were the requirement, but I think part of it is you know, with this era
he's going to be
a the front office has a little too much involvement as to what goes on in the field.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, you should be able to tell. I mean, you know, I get it if he was in a high-stress situation and he was pitching out of bases-loaded jams every inning. You know, then maybe you get him out there. Maybe he's a little stressed out. Okay, you hook him. That's fine. But I, you know, like I remember, you know, I coached the older kids in Little League, you know, 13 through 15, and I would let guys go over 100 pitches because I controlled what they threw. And I knew the fact that out of, you know, if they threw 100 pitches, 90 of them would have been fastballs because I'm not letting kids break off curveball after curveball and screw their arm up. I'm not that kind of guy. You know, you teach them the right way to do it, and then you limit their access to doing it, and you teach them how to spot the fastball. This guy's a major leaguer with years of experience. He's one of the veterans on the staff. He was throwing a ton of changeups yesterday. So, you know, I don't think there was a lot of stress going on, but they were like, oh, he's got to come out of the game. We can't, you know, he's at the 100 pitch mark. What are we going to do? And, I mean, this was the Cardinals saying it. This was the Cardinals announcer saying it. And it was like, oh, give me a break. God, just shut up. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't get it.
You know, I mean, I was under the feeling that, you know, as the pitch count became a thing back in the 80s, 90s, I don't know if it was prior to that. Obviously, you would know a little better than I would. But I was under the impression that you counted the pitches, and this was not something the manager did. This was something the bench coach did so as to pick up on tendencies. You know, not to say that, oh, once he's 100 miles an hour, you know, next week he's going to need Tommy John. It was more so, you know, when he hits 80 pitches, you know, this is what happens after that mark, the 80 to 100 and the 100 plus. You know, it was more of like a benchmark, so to speak, and to check their tendencies, you know, with certain situations. And, you know, if he gets in the 80 mark and 100 mark and he can still keep going, you've left him in. But if he got into a certain jam, kind of had an idea, you had a feel, Big Jack. I remember that at those days, right? You had a feel for what he was going to do more so than, well, he had 100 pitches. Time to go. Time to hook them. You know, it wasn't that kind of the old way of doing it, where you used your feeling, your gut feeling, you know, almost like police with a hunch.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, a lot more like that. You know, now everything is analytically driven. And, you know, if it tells you at this point this guy comes out of the game, you know, you run out there and take him out of the game, because, you know, now with the way it is with front offices, I mean, it'll cost managers jobs if they don't follow this to a T, because that's how the, you know, whack job front office guys are. You know, it's just kind of like, well, you know, maybe you guys need to, you know, it almost reminds me a little bit of Moneyball, where, you know, the Billy Dean character played by Brad Pitt says, well, I watch the games. So, yeah, you know, it's kind of like, well, wait, don't you kind of need to know what's going on here? So. But, yeah, what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but the general manager, do they really need to watch the game? It's up to the coach. You know, the general manager should be out there working on scouting, you know, working with those guys to find the next best guy. I don't know, unless you're, well, no, then again, you need to know what you have on the field. So when you get to that point where you've got to trade away everybody because you can't afford anybody, you know what you have, right? So, I don't know, a bunch of Excel sheets and, you know, numbers doesn't account for what a human does.
Yeah, you know, and that's a lot of the problem with today's, like, humorously, I saw, you know, like, the draft is going to start here in a couple of months. I wasn't kidding about that, even though I know Dan has zero idea who the guy's going to be picked out either. I was just giving him a hard time. You know, it's kind of like I saw they mentioned a guy as being – I don't know if they called him an analytical darling, analytically friendly, and this has moved him up the draft board because his analytics are so good. You know, because he's such a good analytical player, and he walks more than he strikes out. Okay, great. Maybe we could watch him on the field and, you know, kind of check things out, because if I remember correctly, there were 20 teams that passed on Mike Trout. You know, now I know, you know, signability can be an issue and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't think it was an issue with Mike Trout, but when you go back to, like, the White Sox getting Chris Sale, the reason they got him is because nobody wanted to deal with his agent except the White Sox. Yeah, actually, it was 24 teams who passed on Mike Trout that year. The Angels got him at 25. So, you know, I don't know. I want to look here and okay. See who some of the names that went before him were. just to see who we kind of got here. All right, Dan. Now I'm sure you should remember this, Dan. In 2009, the Nationals had the first pick, and it wasn't Bryce Harper. Who else did they take?
Steven Strasburg.
There you go. So yeah, he went number one. Now there are some other names you would recognize. Dustin Ackley was two. He had a short career. Zach Wheeler went six. Then there's like Mike Minor, Mike Lee, Jacob Turner, who I believe was just released by Tampa Bay today. Drew Storen, AJ Pollock was at 17. Shelby Miller was 19. Kyle Gibson went 22, who I think started for the Twins over the weekend. Randall Grichuk went 24, and then Trout went 25. So obviously, everybody missed until we got to 25. So, you know, what, you know, how, you know, maybe they weren't analytically ready. Is that the problem?
Probably. I mean, you mentioned the signability. I don't know what would make other teams more attractive than the Angels, especially at that time.
Yeah. So, and just, you know, Dan, the Cubs had the 31st pick, and they took Brett Jackson.
And he played like a half a game.
Yeah, just about. So.
And we heard about him for 4 years, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, that was that point when every time the Cubs made a pick, he was supposed to be the next best thing. And I don't think any of them worked out. And then when they finally stopped talking about him, we finally started producing guys. You know, at least they got a couple games out of Jackson. At 23, the White Sox, who were one of the teams that passed on Trout, took an outfielder by the name of Jared Mitchell, who I don't think ever made it to the majors. I wonder if he's still playing. He has a Wikipedia. It'll tell me if he's still hanging around. Looks like he's playing with the York Revolution Atlantic League, Dan. So, that's kind of the humorous thing with the baseball draft compared to the other ones. And, the MLB Network is trying so hard to push this thing. But, you know, we get a lot of these things where it's like, you know, I just kind of went over it. You know, Mike Trout went 25th. He's the best player in baseball. So that doesn't happen all that often in the other sports. I know, you know, occasionally you will miss here and there. I know, you know, Cleveland had a number one pick that was just horrible a few years back. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, and then the fact that there's no instant gratification with the baseball draft. You know, with football, you see these guys right away, basketball, even hockey. You know, normally the first-round draft picks are the Patrick Kanes, the Sidney Crosby, the guys who get the level. They go right to the NHL, where, you know, baseball, I mean, Dan, can you name one guy from last year's draft? Off the top of your head, did you see anything? Do you remember anything? Who'd the Cubs pick?
I don't even remember. Wasn't
so the only name I remember, the only name I remember is Hunter Green, because I saw him today on MLB Network. So, That's the only reason I remember that one. I think he went second to the Reds. But, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay. is that kind of – do you feel – I mean, do you like the draft? Do you watch it at all? Do you check it out? I mean, when it's done, do you look to see who like the Cubs pick and who they are? Or what's kind of your take on it?
I mean, if it weren't for the Stanley Cup, I would definitely tune in a little bit more. But I do take a look at who went where and what and why. I mean, you definitely always kind of, well, for me at least, looking at the top 10 picks and just kind of seeing who went in the first round. I mean, because let's be honest, after that, it's really a crapshoot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you really never know with any of them. So I think it is kind of cool to see who's going, but, you know, it's so rough because what they have projected in the top 20, you know, there was a lot of high schoolers. So you don't know if these kids are going to get drafted and opt to not, you know, sign and just go to play college ball.
Yeah, you know, I know the Tigers have the number one pick, and the name I can't keep hearing is Casey Mize. I don't know anything about him. I think he's a college pitcher. But that's about all I know about him. So other than that, I couldn't tell you. But I did piece of fan together. Oh, okay. Wait, what'd you say?
No, I was gonna say I did take a small look at him, and you know, he and another pitcher are like ranked number one and two, and you know, they're both six plus kids, but you know what you do in college doesn't always translate to the majors.
Yeah. So. Now, you know, also, Dan, by the way, I don't know how you did. I actually managed to hit two home runs yesterday in home run derby for a good old FanDuel, home run challenge, I should say. And they were both by Max Muncy. So I didn't get anything out of my other guys. But, you know, I plugged it in. I tried it again. Dan has actually done much better in the home run challenge than I have. You know, obviously Bryce Harper is unavailable. The Nationals are off. So I paired Mike Trout I'm going with the first base theme today. I'm going with Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt. So that's my home run challenge today. Did you put yours together yet? You know who you're going with?
You know, Mike Trout. God, it's taking forever. Trout, Aaron Judge, and Candelario, which I hope are going off tonight's game because Judge and Candelario both went 0-for-4 today.
Well, they got to bounce back too, right? They better, because I have Judge in my FanDuel lineup. Here's what I put together tonight. Not a lot of choices, so it could be an interesting night. I'm going with Julio Teheran as my starter. He's down at 7,600. I know the knock on him is he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but the Padres, I believe, are the highest strikeout team in baseball. So I'm hoping that offsets and I get a good outing, a win, and he racks up six or seven strikeouts. I think I'll be okay. In my catcher first base slot, I'm actually using a catcher. It's Gary Sanchez. Cost me $3,800. He's hitting third for the Yankees tonight. Second base, I got Ian Kinsler leading off for the Angels. Cost me $2,800. Third base, I got Johan Camargo hitting second for the Braves. Cost me $2,700. My shortstop is Nick Ahmed of the Diamondbacks. Only cost me $2,400. Spent kind of big in the outfield. I got Mike Trout for $5,500. Hitting second for the Angels. I mentioned I do have Aaron Judge. He was at 5,200, hitting second for the Yankees. So I rounded that out by paying just 2,300 for Jared Dyson, who's hitting eighth for the Diamondbacks. And then my utility guy is Alex Gordon of the Royals, hitting sixth tonight, cost me $2,600. So just real quick, it's Julio Teheran pitching, Gary Sanchez in the catcher first base slot, Ian Kinsler at second, Johan Camargo at third, Nick Ahmed at short. My outfield is Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, and Jared Dyson. And my utility guy is Alex Gordon. That league is literally getting to start in a minute, but it is a late swap league with all the West Coast guys. So you're okay if you still want to get in or try to swap guys or whatever you've got to do there. So, but how did you do in NASCAR? Oh no! Did I kill Dan? Did he go away? It is 10 after. Did I lose him? I myself did not do well. I actually solicited some advice. Normally I just kind of go with the guys I like, and I think I'm just going to stick with that because I did have some good performers. I had Brad Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson who did really well, but my other guys were Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, and then Denny Hamlin crashed out, so they didn't do too well. So if there's a free roll this week, I think I'm just going to stick with me instead of kind of going out and doing a little too much research on that because it did not help me much. So I ended up way out of it. I only scored 169 points, and you needed like 286 to win or get in the money or whatever. And I just was not close. And then, you know, I think I mentioned my on-air lineup yesterday only scored 86.6 points in FanDuel. So I'm hoping to bounce back a little bit. I think I got a little better lineup tonight. I don't even know if it's a little better lineup. I'm just a little more confident in it. So we'll, you know, we'll see how it kind of rolls out and, you know, how things go. But, you know, just one of those things. So, you know, you can't, you know, you can't, you know, obviously you don't win every time, no matter how much you try, it'd be great. But, you know, I've been doing pretty well. So I would kind of like to keep that streak going and hopefully things work out. I just, you know how I am with this stuff. Sometimes I just, I can go in the tank at times for whatever reason. You know, I was like that earlier in the year where I just couldn't get anything right. So hopefully, you know, it was just kind of a one day, you know, you need that good starting pitching. If you get that good starter, you know, you have the opportunity to, you know, put up some decent numbers. And, you know, they're, like I said, it was a real, real small sample size. And I just wasn't, you know, too thrilled with, you know, like, I think, it was, you know, like Nick Trapino and some of the other guys. I guess I could look up the starters instead of just trying to guess off the top of my head. It would make it a lot easier for me to possibly know what I'm kind of talking about here. Let me see if I can pull up the schedule for tonight. You know, I was, you know, I know what the, you know, Domingo German is starting for the Yankees, but, you know, that's, you know, second game of the doubleheader. I always worry about that. Yeah, I had to choose between him, Mike Byers, Zach Godley, Derek Holland, Danny Duffy, Nick Trapino, Julio Teheran, and Clayton Richards. Or Richard, excuse me, there's no S on it. So, you know, small sample size. I just thought Teheran had the best matchup. Hopefully it works out. You never know how these things go. So it should be fun, I hope. And I won't know how I did till I get done from work, because with all the games starting late, I won't get to see too many of them. But I was asking you there, how'd you do in NASCAR?
Oh, I hit 209 points, but
you did much better.
Not so well. I mean,
I stumped.
I did pick the number one, the winner again. I picked Martin Truex Jr.
Oh.
Started off in fourth and finished first, but, you know, I had Denny Hamlin who finished 35th, and then you know, Almond Dinger and finished 22nd. So those two kind of my lowest ones, so they kind of killed my point total.
Yeah, I was saying that I actually solicited a little advice for it this time, and I did the worst I've ever done. So this week, if we get another free roll, I'm just going to go on my own. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because they don't have scouting reports on, you know, how well they do in certain tracks.
Yeah. Well, you know, the weird part is what I remember is, you know, Denny Hamlin used to dominate at Pocono. You know, it was one of the tracks he always did well with, but I forgot that was before they repaved it. And now that it's repaved, for whatever reason, he stinks. Now, he was actually doing well yesterday until he got caught in that wreck. I had the race on when he got wrecked out. And, you know, it was just, you know, one of those racing things. I mean, there's nothing you could do about it. But obviously, like you said, you had him, I had him. It, you know, it didn't serve either of us well. I'm sure we weren't the only guys who, you know, had him in our lineups, because he does have a good resume at Pocono. But yeah, it just didn't work out yesterday. I you had 209, I had 169, so you crushed me.
Yeah, and I had was it Boucher? I don't know his first name. You know, he jumped
Chris.
From 27th, where he's, I thought it was Chris, I wasn't sure. I was gonna say Carl. He jumped from 27 to finishing at 17. But, you know, I just didn't have enough the right guys.
Yeah, well, you know, the more races I watched, what I'm realizing more and more as the year goes on, that it really seems like a three-horse race. And I've got to figure out just about every week how to get Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr. in my lineup. I know that won't leave me a lot of money for the other two guys, because I think we picked five, right? It's five a week. But, you know, with the way things go, I mean, these guys are always up front. They're always in the top five. They seem to win the majority of the races. So I, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, look this week. I don't even know where they're going. I don't even really care. It's just come down to the point where you, you know, if you get all three of these guys, you need them in, or I guess you need at least two of them. But yeah, it's just, you know, just one of those things. So, but now, you know, I have to ask you, I turned the NBA playoff game on one time. It was the end of the first quarter. I got the score. That was it. Stu. Do you see any, all, how much?
Zero.
Ah.
I happened to walk past my wife's nephew who was listening to it on the radio and not watching it, which I thought was weird, but, you know, I just, no desire.
Yeah, I just, you know, it was one of those things. I thought, well, I'll check the score before I go to bed. It was the end of the first quarter. The Warriors were only up a few points at the time, you know, and the weird part was I know they won. I know Golden State won. I know it was a blowout, but I actually have to look here to get the final score because I don't remember or know what it was. Do you remember? What was the final score?
I don't even check the scores. That's how little interest I have in the NBA final.
You know, I know there was, you know, like always, there was a lot of complaining. You know, there's something about the referees, like there always is. And, you know, they're going back to Cleveland, so this was even odd. It was 122 to 103. So, yeah, it was pretty much a blowout. I know Steph Curry hit, like, 9 threes. They get 2 days off again. They don't play till Wednesday again now. So I really assume that Cleveland wins one of these games in Cleveland. I had it going five all along. I would be shocked if they won both. The only way they're going to win both is if the NBA and the Mickey Mouse Network want them. It's exclusively refereed that way, so they win both games. And no, I'm not kidding. We've been over this before, but we all know it's a thing. So, but yeah.
No,
I,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's totally,
you know,
for real.
So that's why in April, you know, you knew the finals were going to be Golden State and Cleveland, right? So.
Yeah. I pulled the names out of a hat. That only had two teams in it.
You know, just kind of, kind of how those things go. I know. So, but yeah, we'll see, you know, how it goes. But yeah, I just, you know, there's nothing interesting about it. But I did Saturday night. I actually got to see quite a bit of the NHL game. What was that, game two? Or that was game two, right? No, that was game three. I got to see quite a bit of that. And no surprise, I know I tweeted you about it, and, you know, NBC never got back to me. I didn't understand why it wasn't on the main channel. You know, I mean, it, you know, there's no other real reason, you know, why it didn't air there. Tonight it actually is on there. Surprisingly, they've managed to switch over, and it's not, you know, it's not going to be, you don't have to find the sports network. You know, you just got to find good old, well, here it's Channel 5. I think it pretty much is just about everywhere. But, you know, they actually start at 7 o'clock. So, Are you now, you know, this is the time you're the team that's down. So I guess I got to ask you, like, I read after game one, if the, you know, I was worried or changing my pick. How concerned are you? Oh, did you mute yourself again?
Sorry.
There you
yeah.
go. So yeah, what's your concern
said?
Level for the? I said, what's your concern level for the Golden Knights?
I don't know. As I told you before, it's like such a. I don't know. You know, I really want to see the Capitals win, so it's hard to, even though I'm not supposed to be getting behind them, it's hard to not. So, but, you know, if I'm a Vegas fan, I think it's pretty high right now. You know, I know you've got the opportunity. It's coming back home tonight, but you better hope that performance doesn't stretch out too long. The pregame performance doesn't stretch out too long. And, you know, it hurts them. Not to say that it did, because obviously they don't have a really awesome pregame show in Washington. But I mean, what can you really say? You've got to be on your defense, and you got to protect your goalie. And you've got to battle Ovechkin, Oshie, Smith-Pelly. I mean, this team, you know, even Tom Wilson. You just, it's rough. You know, I'm learning these guys as they go along. It's been an exciting series, though, the way you look at it.
Yeah, it was a really good game there, there Saturday night. I mean, I had a good time watching it. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, generally it's two teams that I'm not really invested in, you know, during the season. I didn't spend a lot of time watching Vegas. I don't spend a lot of time watching, you know, Washington. I know you're you're a little more into it than I am with the Capitals, but it was quite a good game, and I really think having Kuznetsov back really makes a big difference for Washington.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, as long as he's healthy and he can give them the performance, I think they're in good shape.
Well, and I think the narrative for the, you know, for the Stanley Cup is just a really cool one to get behind too. I mean, even if the Penguins had made it, having a first inaugural team make it to the Stanley Cup, going against a team that was looking for their third straight Stanley Cup, would have been a really cool thing to see. But you know, now with Washington, you know, not having made the Stanley Cup in roughly 20 years, being in existence. I believe they were founded in the 60s. I might be off on that. But, you know, not having a Stanley Cup to their name, it's a pretty cool narrative. It's really something you can get behind. And, you know, Charles Barkley thinks it's exciting. So.
Yeah, you know, it's a, yeah, you know, I mean, either way, it's a, you know, a first time, you know,
yeah,
win.
Yeah,
and just
time.
To be fair, so you know, The Capitals were founded in 1974.
I was close.
So, yeah. So, you were kind of there. So.
It was obviously
Yeah. Nine. So yeah. You know, I was nine. So 10? No, how old was I?
You were.
I was nine.
You were there, right? You watched
yeah,
the first game.
Yeah, there when they were. Yeah, probably. If they played the Blackhawks. If they played the Blackhawks on the road, I saw the game. If they were in Chicago, I didn't see the game. So, just so you know. Because that's kind of how it works out. You know, and obviously, you know, looking at the way things have gone for Washington, with the way Kuznetsov and Ovechkin score, you just got to kind of find a way to stop them or slow them down, because you know the only guy for Vegas really putting up points is that Jonathan, and I can never figure out how to say his name. It's March Marchessault But man, he always looks fantastic. Every time I see him on the ice, he's always by the puck, and he looks faster than everybody else. And it's just like, man, this guy is just talented. And you wonder, you know, if the team that had to let him go, and I don't know much about him. I don't know where he was before Vegas, but you know, you wonder if some of these guys who had to be let go, if they're, you know, the teams are kind of kicking themselves now. Did I kill Dan again, or did he mute himself?
So. No, I was going to say, I muted myself, so at least I didn't sound like an idiot saying a bunch of rambling. But, you know, how could you know? How could you predict this? You know, one of the things that really helps them out is having Marc-Andre Fleury. And like you said, to begin with, you know, before, you know, prior with the fact that with the hard salary cap, there was no way that Pittsburgh was going to be able to retain him.
Yeah, you know. Oh, oddly enough, and again, I'll butcher his last name. Marchessault played. Oh no, that's not what I wanted.
Puerto Rico.
He was with Florida last year, and then a couple seasons with, a couple seasons with Tampa Bay before heading to Vegas. And obviously, he, you know, he had 51 points in Florida last year, but he really broke out in Vegas. You know, he ended up with 75 total points. So Marchessault, you think? Back again?
Yeah, no, it's the T silent. I remember, you know, when you, after you said it the second time, you know, Mike, is it Emery? He's the one calling all the games.
Doc Emery. Yeah.
Doc Emery. You know, that came into my head. I heard him say it. That's where I remember the T is silent. But hey, go figure.
Yeah.
You know, and I almost made myself sound stupid when you said he was with Florida and Tampa. I was going to say, isn't that the same team? But I forget South Florida has a hockey team.
Yeah, you know, that's always fun to deal with. You know, no, the Florida, you know, I could have said the Lightning and the Panthers to, you know, make it easier for people. As hard as it is to believe, there are actually two NHL teams in Florida, and Tampa Bay is actually a pretty good team, you know, when it kind of comes down to it. I know Florida played really well last year, but they had it, or 2 years ago, they had a down year last year. So I guess the Kevin Spacey t-shirt or whatever they were doing there didn't work, but maybe that's because he got himself in trouble. Who knows? But yeah, hopefully, you know, I'd like to see Washington go ahead 3-1 and then things kind of play out. So hopefully, you know, Ovechkin has a, you know, another fantastic game, and Braden Holtby plays well, and they should be okay, right? They'll go up 3-1, and you'll be looking for t-shirt in my size.
Yeah, I'll be looking for two, actually. But, you know, the biggest challenge for Washington, though, at the same time is, you know, the first two games, they were scoring. But it almost seemed like the minute they scored, you could not get up. You could not get up, go to the bathroom, get a snack, because Vegas was scoring too.
Radio.com.